All right, it's finally here. It is Eclipse Day. Actually, well, not really, not for you. Actually, you're living in the apocalypse because you're listening to this on April 9th, which is the day after the big eclipse, and everything has come to an end and everything is falling to pieces because, you know, somebody on YouTube told me that the world was coming to an end when the eclipse passed over the United States of America, but nowhere else. And somehow, some reason, that has made us all lose our minds. But if we were to pay attention to the words of Jesus himself, we would not be in such a mixed up, frantic, manic, anxiety-ridden position. Hey, I'm Will. This is the For Real Life and Godliness podcast, the podcast that takes the Word of God and puts it down into the grit of your real life where you can actually use it. And we are on YouTube, we're on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and you can find us there in all those places. So if you would, go ahead, give us a like, subscribe if you've been listening for a while, give us a rating, put us on your playlist, put us on your favorites. All those good things that all those good sites do for us. So if it has helped you, send it to somebody, because if it helped you, it could probably help them. And today, I just want to take a few minutes. It probably won't be a very long podcast today, simply to talk about what we should be feeling when we come up to things that other people say should get us in a temper of panic. Let's not do that. We'll be right back after this. Every single time there is a, collision of random events that come together and they start to make up anything that looks like the Olivet Discourse or the things in Revelations, even if they don't exactly line up, people will just start throwing out conjecture and theories and problems and issues and all these things, and people get really, really, really upset, and they just lose their minds. They lose their minds. And it is exactly, completely, totally opposite and against everything that Jesus taught us to do when we saw these things happening. In fact, right in John chapter 14, verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And he talks about how he's leaving, how he's going away, and he's talking about how the Holy Spirit is coming as a comforter for us. But over and over again, Jesus will say the words, "Fear not, be not afraid." And here, he actually leaves this as a choice on our behalf. It is something we have to choose to do. He says that he's going to leave peace with us, not peace like what the world has. When the world sees all these kinds of situations and problems of wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilence and economy breaking down and all this other stuff, they lose their minds. And people who watch the wrong programming or whatever, they're watching TikTok or Instagram or YouTube or, you know, one of the big cable networks, CNN or Fox News or whatever that might be, they can get their minds in a place where it does not belong. Jesus says that I'm leaving peace with you, and it's not a peace like what the world has, which is a peace that is resting on external circumstances, resting on what, you know, what the sun and moon do. We were making jokes last night, me and my wife, talking about the eclipse, and my only real concern about the eclipse is what people will do with the eclipse. You know, whether it's the government, whether it's people in general, whether it's, you know, whatever it might happen, people make things happen because they think it needs to, or people use it as an excuse. And I don't want to go off in some deep end hole over here, but I don't have a whole lot of trust for those in governing positions, and it is possible that they would do something that would cause problems due to this. And there could be things that happen from it. I don't really know. But what I do know is that just because there's something happening over the United States of America, it has nothing to do necessarily with the process of God's revelation and everything that he has coming down the line. Because United States is not mentioned, not by name, and it's very difficult to find anywhere in scripture where the United States or anything really in this side of the world is mentioned, because God is concerned in using his chosen people as kind of the timetable and the time clock and that everything that's happening over there. But regardless of where we actually end up in all of this stuff, regardless of where we're going to find ourselves, regardless of what time period we actually find ourselves in, regardless of what kind of persecution comes our way as Christians in this country, regardless of the problems, issues, and the famines, and all the economic problems, and the wars, and the different things that are going on, regardless of where that is, there's one thing that's absolutely certain that I know 1,000%. And that is that Jesus, when he tells us about all these things that are going to happen, always says, I'm telling you this so that when they happen, you know. He says, peace, I leave with you. He says, fear not. And that's why I said it's a choice for us. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Every time that you read in the Bible, let not your heart be troubled. That is a choice being left up to you. He said in this verse, I'm giving you peace. I'm giving you exactly what you need. However, you are left with the choice. Let not, allow not, suffer not, if you want to use another King James word. Don't let it in. Don't allow it to happen. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to actually preach the kids' service over in what we call TKC. And I talked to him about the wall or the fence of God's word. And we talked about how a fence divides things into one side and the other. And I just said a second ago that you need to keep certain things out. And we just simply talked about what a fence is. And one of the kids, super smart, he got it immediately. I was like, what does a fence actually do? And he says it divides something into two. It puts a line through the middle of it, and it does. You know, what was once an open field has now become two-sided, and there becomes an inside and an outside. Right? And so there are things, and God's word is given to us as a fence or a wall or a defense or a fortress or a castle or a refuge, all the words that are used for that idea. You are on the inside of that. That's where you're supposed to be. That's what the word of God is for us. It is a refuge, a fortress, a fence, a defense, whatever you want to call it. And you are to stay on the inside of it. And there are certain things we need to keep on the outside. And for them, yesterday I talked about envy. We talked about hatred. We talked about fear. And fear is something that people let into their lives all the time. And yet, it's one of the one things that Jesus says over and over again not to allow in your life. His word is a fence. It's a wall. It's a fortress. It says, do not let your heart be afraid. Don't allow it to happen. Don't let fear on the inside. In Matthew 24, when he's talking about all these end time things, he says this, Matthew 24:4. He says, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. So first of all, he says, look, people are going to try to deceive you, right? We also talked yesterday about when the word of God, there's always two sides to offense. And so there's always two sides to God's word. There's a negative and there's a positive. There's what you should not do. There's things you should do. So every time God says one thing, he's actually saying two things. So when he says don't hate, he's also saying love. When he says don't steal, he also says be honest. When he says don't lie, he means speak the truth, right? And so here he says, look, take heed that no man deceive you. And so what he's actually saying is that there are men who are going to show up. And he says this obviously other places. Jude is one of the best places to go to find this. When it's talking about people in the church who want to deceive you. There are people who are going to purposely want, that is their intent. That is their desire. It's not an accident. They are there for the express purpose of deceiving you. And so Jesus says, don't let that happen. Keep them on the outside and keep yourself on the inside, right? So take heed that no man deceive you, for many, right? Many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, or I'm the anointed one, right? Not that necessarily they're Jesus, but that they're the one chosen. That's what that means, right? It doesn't say many will come and say that I am Jesus. It says many will come and say that I am Christ, that I am the one chosen. I'm the one anointed. I'm the one with the power, with the insight, with the secret sauce, with the, you know, the hidden details. And everywhere I look today on YouTube and on TikTok and on Instagram, there are people who want to bring out some secret meaning to something God said in his word, or some book that's been kept out of God's word, or some other thing, some ancient calendar, some other prophecy from something else. And everybody's trying to angle at this thing. And really what it gets down to at the root is people wanting to be able to say, I told you so, or I know something you don't know. And the reality is, Jesus says those dudes are coming. They're showing up. They're going to come on your doorstep. They're going to knock on the door, and they're going to wear a white shirt and a black tie, or they're going to be in your church touting their newest book or their newest video or all this other stuff that they're doing. And they're going to say, well, we know all this stuff that you don't know. But in reality, every single thing that you need to know is in the Word of God. This podcast is dedicated to the verse in 2 Peter that says, God has given us all things that pertains to life and godliness, right? Life and godliness. And that life is the word Zoe, that means biological life. It means real life, which is how this podcast got its name, right? And Jesus says, look, man, real life. People are going to show up in your church, outside your church, on YouTube, everywhere you go. And they're going to come with the purpose of deceiving you by saying, I am the chosen one. I have the secret knowledge. And that's what the whole Gnostic problem was in the second century church. You know, they all talked about the secret knowledge, and you have to get to a certain part of their society before you become anything. And you have to get all this secret stuff. It was always secret stuff, always secret stuff. Anytime someone shows up, and they want to tell you, they have a new angle, a new secret, a new insight into the Bible, into some major piece of prophecy, you know, and that no one else has, no one else has ever seen. You need to question that to like the nth that you can, because Jesus said, take heed, be aware. That word to take heed means to be careful, to consider, to face towards, to guard against. It means to keep seeing, to keep on seeing. And it means to look with intensity, to look at the person and think, man, is this guy really telling me the truth? He says, many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ. He said, they'll come in his name. So they'll come as ministers of Jesus, but they'll say, I am Christ, which is a strange thing. And so they'll come in the name of Jesus, but they'll say, I'm Christ. And like I said, there are ones showing up at the church, and I want to say I have some kind of secret insight that no one else has. I'm the chosen one. And they shall deceive many. And you got to think, how many people are deceived today? I can't tell you how many videos I've seen with eclipses, earthquakes, red heifers, you know, Israel, wars, famine, economy, everything else. And yes, 100%, those things are happening. And yes, they mark something. But notice what he says here in Matthew 24. He says, many shall come, try to deceive you. Many shall be deceived. And in verse 6, he says, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Well, 100%, we know that. But notice how he follows it up. Notice how he follows it up. See that you be not troubled. How do we miss something that's right there in our face? So simple. We allow fear, anxiety, and all these questions in. And people start to think, they start to question, well, I thought this wasn't going to happen yet, or I thought we were supposed to be at this point in time, or I thought this was going to happen because I read this guy's book, and he said this is how the end times were supposed to happen, and it didn't happen that way. And, you know, the European Union, and now that Brexit happened, and now there's not as many, whatever it is, nations in this thing that we thought was going to be this, you know, the beast and all this other stuff. And people question, and they think, and they go over these things, and they lose their minds because they're looking at things that are not in the Bible. They're trying to look at the world and define what the Bible says when the Bible's defining itself. And we simply are called to live real life through whatever comes at us, no matter what it looks like. He says, see that you do not let your hearts be troubled. He says, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. He says, nations rise against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms. There'll be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. And all these are the beginnings of sorrows. And there have been people who have said things along the lines of, God, there's a person, and I love the man to death, but he literally said this, and I almost fell out of my chair when I heard it. And I called him on it immediately, and he said, I just don't believe that. He said, we believe that the church is the bride of Christ, and I don't believe any man would let his bride go through persecution. And I looked at him. This is a college professor. I looked at him, and I said, then what do you do with the early church? Like, what are you talking about? What do you do with the church in China and in the Middle East? What do you do with like half the history, most of the history of our spiritual heritage? What do you mean? You don't think that that Jesus will let his bride go through persecution? He literally said that we would. He said that we are not above our masters. If they hated him and they killed him and they ridiculed him and they lied about him, then they'll do the same thing to us. And I cannot believe that only the American church will be the ones who escape all that. And so my personal opinion is that things for us will get actually more difficult as we go farther. These things, it says, must happen, but the end is not yet. And that's a whole different thing anyways. You know, the end not being yet and all that kind of stuff. Like, we know that there's, you know, all the stuff that must happen. And then there's another period of time when the devil is released after a 1,000-year reign of Christ. And then there's another actual final battle at the end of that. And so the end of this, like, physical world is not for a long period of time. The end of this age is probably pretty close, but we don't really know that. And this is the key. This is the key for me. And this is where I go back to. When Jesus rose from the grave and he went back and, you know, he walked around 40 days and he had his conversations with his disciples and he goes to the mountain, he ascends back into heaven. They're just sitting there staring up, just staring, just looking like, what are you doing? And then the angels show up and they're looking up and they look at them. And they look up and like, hey guys, what are you doing? He said, this same Jesus that went up that way, he's going to come back the same way. He says, but you go do what he told you to do. And this is the key to all of this. No matter what transpires or has transpired today on this day I'm making this, when the eclipse shows up, and maybe you are living in the apocalypse when you hear this, probably not. No matter though, what happens, no matter what, I can't say this enough, no matter what happens in this world, our hope is in Christ. And I don't care whose line of reasoning when it comes to end times that you follow. I really don't care. But if they turn out to be wrong, don't lose your hope, your faith. I've been teaching my students in Sunday school, 1 Peter, and we've gone through the first chapter. We're almost done. We spent about 3 months on this first chapter because I wanted to teach them how to study the Bible. And so we've been doing like hermeneutics kind of studies, you know, knowing what context is and doing word studies and who Peter was and who the, you know, the audience is, the scattered churches and what they're dealing with. And they're dealing with persecution. And in chapter one, as they're facing persecution, he goes through all these benefits that we have now as children of God, as I guess reasons why we shouldn't be freaking out. And so he's talking to this church about persecution, and he goes down and talks about all the benefits we have, and then he finally says, look, if all the benefits you gain from being a son of God is not enough, no, you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but you are redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's how much you mean to Jesus. And I went to Romans on Sunday and talked about how, you know, if he gave up his son for us, he'll freely give us all things and stuff like that. And then it comes here in verse 21 of 1 Peter 1. He says that your faith and hope might be in God. no matter what happens today on the day I'm recording this, what's happening the day you're listening to this, the world might have been, you know, the time might have changed, and maybe we're all running around scratching off rocks and trying to survive in the woods or something. I don't know what's happening at the moment when you hear this. But at the end of the day, no matter what, no matter what line of reasoning you thought was going to happen, no matter what you pictured the end of times being in a couple years, maybe you're listening to this and things are in a different place. No matter what happens, our faith and our hope is in God Himself. It is not in the external circumstances of this world, no matter what they look like, no matter who has told you what. If every single thing that every person has told you about end times ends up being wrong and we miss the whole thing, none of that matters, because what does matter is our faith and our hope is in God. He will work out His revelation in His time, in His way, and He will make things happen no matter what. You cannot push it along and you can't hold it back because you're not God, and God has set all those things in His power. It says we have no control over that. What we do have control over is not staring at the sky like the disciples, but going and doing exactly what He told us to do. That's what the angel encourages them to do. That's what I'm encouraging you to do today. No matter what happens, you must live in real life through all the persecution, problems, and things that may come in an upcoming decade or so. You must live all of it with the same intensity and desire and passion you do when you're able to stand in a church, safe, sound, dry, worshiping with big instruments and screens and all that stuff. If all that's taken away and you have none of it and things go real south for us, you should still be able to worship God with the same passion, with the same fervor, with the same truth, with the same confidence, because our faith and our hope is in God. It is not in what other people think God's trying to do. It's in what He does, and no matter how it pans out, how God decides to let this whole thing play out, our faith is in Him, and we are safe in Him because we're safe in Christ. And Christ is alive, and we have a lively hope, as Peter says in that same book. We have a living hope. Why? Because Christ is alive. My life is hid in Him. My inheritance is in Him. I am safe no matter what happens. And if I face persecution, if you face persecution that ramps up over the next couple years, and who knows what this eclipse will do, who knows what the economy will do, what the election will do, nobody knows. But I do know this. Jesus said, I giving you peace that is not like what the world gives. I'm giving you real life peace. Therefore, let not your heart be troubled. That's it for today. A little bit shorter, I think. Well, maybe not. I guess not. Maybe I got off on a tangent there somewhere. But that is today's podcast. I wanted to encourage you and get you straight, because I don't want to see anybody freaking out because somebody told them that we should be gone from here a certain amount of time. We'll be taken away. Christ will come and get us in His time. But we are meant to stay faithful and to work hard until that day comes. Jesus talks about the servants who are faithful, and they're watching and they're working until He comes. That's who we're supposed to be. The unfaithful servant is the one who says, oh, He delays His coming, and he goes and does whatever he wants. But I would say, just like the one servant who hides his talent in the dirt for fear, the other side of, you know, the one guy's lackadaisical. He says, well, my father, you know, my Lord delays His coming, so I'm just going to do whatever I want. He gets drunken and beats his fellow servants and all this other stuff, and his Lord shows up suddenly. But the other guy is the one who, for fear of what might happen, hides his talent and does nothing with it. He's not lackadaisical, but he's worried and anxious. So the two sides, Jesus says, neither of them are good. Neither of them are good. You have to be working no matter what's going on, with faith, with confidence, with hope, standing on the Word of God, keeping the things on the outside, and allowing God's peace to reign on the inside. Again, that is it for today's For Real Life and Godliness podcast. As always, I am your host, Pastor Will. And as I said before, if you're on YouTube, like, subscribe. If you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, save us your playlist, favorite us, rate us, and we'll see you on the next one.